If you're among the roughly 2 million people who own a copy of the memoir The Salt Path and you're hanging out for the author's next book, well, your wait's going to be a little bit longer. The release date for Raina Wynne's next title, On Winter Hill, has been put back after a report in UK newspaper The Observer called into question key aspects of the memoir. The Salt Path recounts the experiences of the author and her husband as they do the 640-mile walk known as the Coastal Path after their family home was repossessed and husband Timothy, or Moth, is diagnosed with an incurable condition. The publisher Penguin calls The Salt Path an unflinchingly honest, true story of coming to terms with grief and the healing power of the natural world. But the Observer investigation has caused a fair bit of flinching about The Salt Path. Raina Wynne has put out a detailed response to the article on her website. It makes some concessions, but also calls the article grotesquely unfair and highly misleading. A health charity has ended its association with the Wynnes, saying too many questions currently remain unanswered. Joining us now is the journalist who broke the story and led the investigation, Chloe Hadjimathayu, to talk through the allegations made in The Observer. Chloe, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
Let me ask you first, had you read The Salt Path before you started investigating it?
No, I hate to say that. I hadn't. I wasn't aware of it at all. And it's strange. Either you're into these types of books or you're not. And this isn't to my particular taste.
So how did you come to be investigating the author who on the book is called Raina Wynne, but as we find out is actually called Sally Walker? How did this story come to you?
So I picked this up because I got a tip-off from a member of the public, as sometimes happens if you're an investigative journalist. And this person had met Raina Wynne and Moth in the past and had suspicions that they may not be telling the entire truth, but they had no evidence. And what they did was give me their real names, because until I began this investigation, there was no way to connect Raina Wynne and Moth with their legal names, Sally and Tim Walker. And so having their legal names and also knowing where they lived in Wales, where their house was that they had repossessed, that gave me a starting point. And then I was able to start looking into land registry documents, going down to Wales and trying to understand what people in the town where they used to live knew, and sort of following the lead from there.
So Raina and Moth, or Sally and Timothy, did actually lose their family home. And as far as I can tell, they did do the Coastal Path walk together. So could you walk us through what aspects of the Salt Path you're questioning?
So what I discovered was that maybe it's better if I tell you what was in the book first and then what I discovered. So the Salt Path describes these two heroes really in their 50s against whom life conspires. Like, they just have this horrible run of luck. First of all, an old childhood friend of Moth's persuades them to enter a financial deal. He's starting a new business and he says to Moth, "I think you should invest." Moth puts an investment in, and then when the business goes sour, this friend, who is called Cooper in the book, turns around and claims that Moth and Raina are responsible for his financial debts, which seems quite crazy, but they end up in court and the judge agrees and they have their house repossessed. So essentially they're conned out of it by a close friend who's turned against them. And then to make matters even worse, within the same week as they find out they're being evicted, a doctor gives them an awful diagnosis of a very rare neurological condition called corticobasal degeneration. It's really brutal. It basically, the sufferers usually die 6 to 8 years after onset of symptoms, and people lose control of their bodily functions and they're not able to use their arms and legs, and they often use the ability to speak as well. So it's, and it's brutally short. And so he's given this awful diagnosis, and not knowing what to do with the bailiffs at the door, the couple make this kind of radical decision to put backpacks on and walk the Southwest Coastal Path. Now, what I discovered was the sort of origin story of this tale, which is how they were conned out of their home. That bit wasn't accurate. So what I discovered was that actually prior to that, Sally Walker, as she was known then, worked in an estate agent in the North Welsh town where she lived. And she was a part-time bookkeeper. So she did the accounts. And the estate agent discovered that money was missing, initially £9,000. They blamed Sally Walker, and she turned up with that money and gave it to them and basically apologized quite tearfully. They accepted the money and didn't sort of proceed with any criminal charges at that point, but they kept digging into the books, into their accounts. And what they say is, well, Ros Hemmings, the wife of the estate agent has since died. His wife says that the couple pored through the books over years and years. Sally Walker had been working for them for about 6 or 7 years at this point, and they went back years and discovered that in total, she owed between £60,000 and £70,000. Ros Hemmings doesn't remember the exact figure. She puts it at around £64,000. This was a hell of a lot more than they expected. They went to the police. Sally Walker was arrested. She was questioned. Her house was searched. But then the police let her go overnight and asked her to return in the morning, but she vanished. She went down to London to this same rich relative that she says conned them out of the house in her version. This guy, Cooper, she went down and she asked him to borrow £100,000. And she used that money to pay back the missing money from the estate agent and to cover legal costs on both sides. And her lawyers offered Martin and Ros Hemmings this deal on a no admissions basis. And in return, they had to agree to not pursue any criminal charges and basically not to talk about the issue again. Or Martin Hemmings signed this contract, not his wife. And so in the end, no criminal charges were ever brought against Sally Walker. The couple had, in essence, solved their problem. She wasn't going to be charged in any way, or there wouldn't be a court case around this. But they started a whole different set of problems, because now they had this private mortgage on their house. That £100,000 loan used their home as collateral. And they weren't too worried because Cooper was a distant relative and friend of Moth's. But when Cooper's business did go south, as was written in the book, he had people he owed money to, and this debt then transferred to these businessmen who wanted their money. And at that point, Sally and Tim Walker weren't able to pay. They were given about 4 or 5 years, actually, from the time they took the loan, when their house was eventually repossessed. They weren't able to pay, and the bailiffs did move in. Their house was taken from them. So that bit of the story is true.
Raina Wynn has now put out a long statement on her website, which sort of seems to acknowledge that there are things that she says that she deeply regrets and is truly sorry for from the time that she was working with Martin Hemmings, but also says that she was never charged with any criminal offence. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that also. I mean, I feel that she confirmed our reporting in her statement. She did say our article was unfair and misleading, but she didn't actually explain why it was unfair and misleading. The other thing my article did was question whether the depiction of Moth's illness in the book was strictly accurate. Now, I said, and I stand by this, I haven't seen Moth's medical records. Medical records are one of the most private things a person can have, and it's not right that I should even try and see them. But I spoke to lots and lots of neurologists who questioned his presentation of this illness called cortico-basal degeneration. He claims to have had this illness for 18 years. As I said, most people only survive about, 6 years with this condition. And he, at the moment, having survived 18 years, has no acute visible symptoms. He claims that he has reversed his symptoms by doing these long walks. And so my reporting questioned this, and based on what neurologists had told me, that this was a medical miracle. And I said in my article, medical miracles do sometimes happen.
The documents that Raina Wynn posted on her website do include a letter from a neurologist, which says that her husband's condition does most closely resemble the corticobasal syndrome. But it does describe it as an atypical form of it, and certainly seems to be much slower progressing and mild.
He seems to have had ailments that doctors can't explain, and they've been doing various tests on him, trying to work out what's wrong with him. it's clear this man isn't well and there is something wrong with him. So I think rather than answering questions, in some ways it's open more questions.
And genre-wise, The Salt Path is a memoir rather than an autobiography. It's not purporting to be a comprehensive account of the author's life. Do you think those distinctions provide a viable path for Raina Wynne to defend her work?
I mean, I think this is really interesting, and it's opened up this whole question about, you know, what do we expect from a memoir? I think part of the problem is that the way that it was sold was that it was a true story. And Penguin has described it as unflinchingly honest. And so they really kind of banged this drum of truth in marketing the book. And I think probably this has been the most unhelpful to them now that these discrepancies have come out. But, you know, I think omission is something that's to be expected, but commission, making something up about how something happened, I think that's more questionable. And my biggest question of all is really, why didn't she tell it as it is? Because I think it would have been a fascinating story to hear about this person who made a tragic mistake and then, you know, had to take this walk as a result. And maybe that would have been an even bigger redemption at the end of it.
Well, Chloe Hadjimathew, it's been fascinating speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
That was Chloe Hadjimathew, investigative reporter and narrative editor at The Observer. As we said, Raina Wynne has responded to The Observer investigation on her website, and we'll put a link to that as well as The Observer investigation in the online version of this story and in the notes on the ABC Listen app.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.